Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you think of a priest today, you typically think of an ordained man in the Catholic Church. I know that at least from a little firsthand experience, as any time I'm walking through the hospital in my clerical, I'm usually called Father without any reservation. It's an automatic. Priest is called to perform the public services of the parish on behalf of the members belonging to that location. In its broadest sense, a priest is anyone who serves as a go-between between God and man. In his writing to the early church, St. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And just a few short verses later, he says these words, which are perhaps a bit more familiar: "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." A holy and royal priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, then, all believers in Christ are priests, serving as mediators between God and men. Perhaps you in your life have been asked by someone to pray for them. You are serving as a priest in that situation. Or if a friend or a loved one is struggling, wrestling over a certain sin, and you pronounce forgiveness of sins because of Jesus for them, you are acting as go-between between God and man. That is Peter's understanding of the Christian church. Jesus chose then 12 men from among the larger group of priests, his followers, to fulfill certain roles and purposes. And so likewise, the Christian church, the royal priesthood, ordains certain men to perform publicly for them what they can all do privately, hence the office of the public ministry. Moses' brother Aaron was called by God to be the first high priest for the newly relieved and released people of Israel. Now, Aaron and Moses were both sons of the tribe of Levi, and the Levites were the ones chosen by God to be over the tabernacle of the testimony, over all of its furnishings and the like. So the Levites were the ones in charge of the care of the house of God. Aaron then served as the first high priest of those Hebrew people after God set them free through the Exodus and their passage through the Red Sea. But what about before Aaron? Were there any priests before him who served the people of God in the capacity of leader of worship and proclaimer of God's forgiveness to his people? Perhaps this is where Melchizedek comes in. Now, Melchizedek has always been a mystery to the Christian church, causing us much confusion and perplexity. Who was he? A reading from Hebrews 5 says of Jesus, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Well, this coincides with Moses writing from Genesis 14, speaking about Abram. Melchizedek, son of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And we add in parentheses, he was priest of God Most High. So Melchizedek was a priest. Where did he come from? No one knows for sure. But Martin Luther agreed with an interesting theory going around the church in his day, and it came from before that. And the theory stated that Noah's son, Shem, was the mysterious Melchizedek. Now, if the years of Shem and his descendants can be taken as literally as listed in Genesis 11, without then allowing for any missed generations in that genealogy, Shem would have been about 390 years old when his descendant Abram was born. And the scriptures do say that Shem lived on to be 600 years old. That means then, following the chronology of the book of Genesis, literally, Shem would have lived through the Tower of Babel debacle. And at some point following that, he would have settled in Canaan, home of the promised land. For that is where Abram then would later interact with one Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now the name Melchizedek comes from two Hebrew words, the word for king and the word for righteousness. So translated, it could be either righteous king or king of righteousness. And Salem, of course, translates as a form of the Hebrew word for peace, you know probably better as shalom, and would later then be included in the name of Israel's great city, Jerusalem. While all of these pieces do seem to fit, at least to some extent, the most important concept that arises is that of Melchizedek as a priest, long before Aaron came about. Now, as king of Salem and a priest of God, Melchizedek served the people of God through leading them faithfully, as one could imagine a faithful Shem, son of Noah, doing. But so much would not be made of all of this if the scriptures themselves were silent on the man. But Melchizedek is mentioned 10 times in the Bible, and he is purposely connected to Jesus. This is where Hebrews 5 comes in, with that connection. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you, and you are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." The author of Hebrews further then builds on Jesus' identity as the great high priest, saying, "Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death." Jesus stepped into our very flesh and blood to serve as our substitute before God. So Jesus was, in the most literal sense, a priest to us, taking our place in God's sight. As Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And Hebrews 9:15 then adds, "He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." That death was the death of Jesus. Not only did Jesus step into our place, not only did Jesus offer up the perfect sacrifice in our stead and for the sake of the whole world, but Jesus did what no other priest could ever do. For Jesus, the great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, became the very sacrifice offered up. Praise we him whose love divine gives his sacred blood for wine, gives his body for the feast, Christ the victim, Christ the priest. Mystery of mysteries. The priest becomes the sacrifice. And in that great reversal comes the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. How great and how wonderful our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ truly is. Makes us then easy to scoff at the pettiness with which James and John in today's gospel text, two of Jesus' chief disciples, how they were fighting over positions of authority in Christ's kingdom. Are you able to drink the cup I am about to drink, Jesus says? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism I will be baptized with? Well, they certainly thought so. Perhaps a few points for courage on their part. And Jesus said that they would, as disciples truly do. But not when they follow Jesus as Jesus alone could do. Jesus taught them, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you must learn to be servant of all. That is the life of the priest, a true go-between between God and man, always offering up the grace of God in Christ Jesus to all who need healing, the healing salve of His great mercy. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, Jesus said, but to serve, to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus Himself is the definition of the greatest high priest. All others, including Melchizedek, pale in comparison to Jesus. All others lead up to Jesus and flow then out of Him. And all priests of God, you, the royal priesthood, you find your fulfillment in Jesus. For He gives you Himself for the forgiveness of sins, to share then with others, so that they too can be fed by Him. And Jesus' blood shed and given is the blood of the new covenant, which Jeremiah once prophesied. For I will forgive their iniquity, God says, and I will remember their sin no more. That is now true for you. God remembers your sin no more, because rather He remembers His covenant made in Jesus' blood. Jesus, the greatest high priest. And that covenant, that promise, God will never, ever forget. To God alone be all glory in Christ Jesus, and to us be His blessings now and forevermore. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.